Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Line of Yellow Sweet podcast, episode 55. Yes, we managed to make it 2 weeks in a row this week, kinda, because, you know, we had that layoff and whatnot. But we're back today, and, you know, probably for one of the last few times this season, because the season's now ended. But anyway, let's get on with the show. Joining me today, well, joining me, my name's Daniel Murphy. I'm just botching my intro again. This is not good. joining me today is, as ever, Tom. Tom, how's it going? You're enjoying the lovely sunshine on this fine day?
Evening. Yeah, not too bad. Been lovely, hasn't it?
It's been cracking flags, eh? It's been bloody lovely. And Rob, first time you've been on for a while. I imagine it's just a sunny down south.
Yeah, it has been a while. It was a nice all day until I decided to cycle home from work and it was raining. Oh. So
I think that's heading up here, and it's going to piss it down up here tomorrow as well, which is depressing. But anyway, speaking of depressing, Rob.
Yeah.
You were at Craven Cottage on Saturday. Us two weren't. I was in Germany. Tom was probably just in his garden doing what Tom does. So you've just got the floor to talk about Fulham game, and just please drag it out as long as you can, because, you know, we need to get some minutes up. So please, the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, we were talking about football to start with. It wasn't very good from us. We made a really poor Fulham team look like absolute world beaters. They should have won by 4 or 5. I mean, if it wasn't for Ben Amos, they would have won by 4 or 5. We made a great save from Kearney in the first half. Tom Kearney played really well. But we made him look like Paul Scholes. Just no one marking him, no one closing him down. Yeah, he played really well. And he could have scored 2 or 3 if it weren't for Amos. Made a couple of great saves from him. And then Amos made a great double save. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Nope,
the highlight.
That was superb.
Yeah, that double save was fantastic. Like point blank double save. But he was just brilliant all throughout, to be honest, Amos.
Man of match?
Yeah, by a mile. Yeah. And the others did all right. I mean, David Wheater did all right again.
Shame.
Last game. Yeah. but it's kind of performance we expected from him this year, really. Really controlled the back line.
How did Freckel do in centre back?
He did really well, actually. Yeah, he started in the holding role.
Okay.
But Derek looked a bit shaky at centre back, so they switched them. I mean, Threlkeld's not the tallest, is he? But he was marking. He was up against Matt Smith, who's quite big, and obviously Rossman, who's a decent player. But he did all right, actually. He did. He looked fairly composed. I don't know if he's ever played there before, but.
Yeah, well, he's a centre back. He is a centre back in trade. He got shifted to right back, and he's been playing midfield at Plymouth. Yeah, so that's why I was interested to see if he actually did well there, considering it's his actual position, and he's never had a chance.
Yeah, he looked good. Better than Dorian Devitt, put it that way.
And that's one silver lining from the end of the season. He's not been anywhere to be fucking seen. Hopefully, he can get shipped off.
Yeah, Thorka looked all right on the ball, and he put in a really good tackle on McCormack, I think it was, when he was pretty much through on goal. Yeah, he played well. So did Tyler Garrett. He played really well at left back.
Good again.
He was good. He got lost positionally a couple of times, but he had no support down the left hand side defensively from the midfield. So he looked to get forward a bit as well. He looks like a decent prospect, I reckon. So hopefully next year he can make left back his own, get rid of Dean Moxey.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there was nothing going forward. Like, Mark Davis was ineffective, as usual. Mm-hmm. Bradley was useless in behind the forward. Just wasn't making forward runs, wasn't offering for the ball. And Zach Clough was just completely ineffective on the left, really. He had a couple of chances and blew them both. But, I think we stop playing in left wing next season.
Yeah, who'd have thought you'd play your most creative player on the left wing?
You know, it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, and then Heskey was just Heskey up front. I don't know why they played him, other than sentimental reasons, to be honest.
Who would you even be sentimental to at this point? Fucking Neil Lennon.
It's ridiculous. Like, five matches in a row now, Heskey.
It's mad. And we've got three. How is he still even walking, the poor lad?
Hey.
His knees were fucking...
came on after, like... I think Woodley replaced him about...
Yeah, it was quite early.
And he looked more direct. He looked quicker, obviously. I just don't know why they didn't start him. I just don't get it, but oh well, it's done now, and we were crap. We lost.
The season's finally ended. Not an away win all year. Only four wins.
The one thing about losing to Fulham means that we set the club record for the most defeats in a season.
Yep, and they should definitely have that record. We should have like literal physical proof that they were fucking shit, and they didn't deserve. And aside from the odd kid here and there, none of them deserve any praise in the slightest.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
Well, you mentioned then on the pitch we're shit. I'm guessing that alludes to the fact that off the pitch.
Yeah. Well, we brought, I think it was between 1,000 and 1,200 fans down for a 12:30 kickoff in like West London. That's pretty impressive. But the fans didn't stop singing all the way through the match, and it was pretty awesome. Probably the loudest I've heard Bolton sing for, I don't know, ever. Maybe,
what song
I don't know.
Can I run out? Come on, please tell me some old classics. Can I run out?
Yeah, they rolled out all the Nicky Hunt song.
Yeah, always do classic.
El Hashtag will spit on you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. There was a period where they were just singing. Yeah, they're just singing. We are fucking shit. We are fucking shit.
Did they we're going down and not coming back up. We're Bolton Wanderers and we don't give a fuck. Brilliant. When I went to Derby for the game we was relegated, there was a far significant less of us. I think there was about 600 or so. And all the match we were just singing shite. I love it. Bolton fans are so self-deprecating. Just it was like Eastleigh, when over, again, when over 1,000 of us took us to bloody, to the Eastleigh game, just all the way through against a non-league side, just thinking about how shit we are. It's brilliant. Oh, Tom, you said that you've watched the highlights of the game, and I've not, because I couldn't be bothered. Tom, any observations you had from the brief 2 minutes of footage out of a 90-minute game?
It looks like shooting practice. it also looks like. Have you seen Jimmy Grimble?
Oh yeah, I've seen Jimmy Grimble.
I think Tom Kearney is Fulham's Gordon, because it was.
I don't know into that detail. I know
that. The gaffer's tactic at like before the game and at half time, and he was shouting it onto the touchline. He'd always shout, "Give it to Gordon."
Yeah.
It just seemed like Tom Kearney was on the end of everything for Fulham, like, and he's shaping up with his left foot, like, every time he got near the edge of the box.
He had like 10 shots, I think, Kearney. But he looked good, but we made him look good. Like,
mm-hmm. What was the goal like? A rebound or something?
Yeah, Amos made a good save at the near post and then just rebounded out to Kearney to knock it in.
We all seem very depressed, don't we?
Yeah.
There's nothing else much more you can say about the season, about the game, can you? It's like, we were shit. It's annoying after the progress we've made in recent weeks that we reverted so back to type so soon. I thought we might do something.
We didn't even have a shot on target.
So depressing. I thought we might have gone there and actually got something with Fulham being shit as well.
Yeah. The team can't even get up for it when you've got 1,200 fans shouting you on and Fulham weren't singing all the way through it, so it says a lot about their character, I think, that they can't even get up for it.
Yeah, season's over now. Oh, I guess we should talk about certain admission from the team. So, unless there's any more thoughts on that game at all that you can possibly muster.
No.
Well, there was a very, very conspicuous admission. Rob Holding wasn't in the team, and it later emerged that he was told that Jamie Phillips was told that he shouldn't be played, which is fucking bollocks. I think last game of the season is. I can understand. Oh, there's a bid coming for him. Well, they shouldn't play him because we need the money. Yeah, I don't care, right? Yeah, it might make sense businesses, but I'm not fucking following a business. I'm following a football club, and to see the best player, the player of the fucking year, not be able to play A, the last game of the season, but B, fucking it's looking like his last game for the club. It's a fucking travesty that those fans didn't get to like say goodbye to him proper. It's a fucking joke, and one of the other reasons I'm already very, very, very fucking concerned about the new establishment. But it emerged that apparently Arsenal, of all teams that need defenders, are apparently after Rob Holding. Now, Tom, thoughts?
Surprised. Very surprised. Everton, I didn't really see. Bournemouth, I thought, that sounds like a more appropriate fit. Arsenal's weird, very weird. I mean, they signed Kyle Bartley from us, didn't they?
Yeah, they certainly did, yeah, for $1 million. And he hadn't even played for us, so he was fucking best in these cunts.
But he went into the development squad, was rarely seen in an Arsenal shirt, and then he's obviously had to go elsewhere for Swansea football. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if he stays at Arsenal and he makes it all the way through. I can certainly see why clubs will be looking at these players, and I think what they can do is it's quite a low risk punt on a player like Rob Holding, because they can get him in. He plays that sort of way. Send him out on loan. I think if he goes to Arsenal, we've got a good chance of having him on loan for the season next season. Yeah, I'm surprised that a team of that calibre has gone for him, because I don't think he's there yet.
I think he could be.
It's too soon to tell, I think.
Yeah, definitely, but I think he could be.
Financially, it makes sense. I mean, he's not been at the club long enough for us to get sentimental about him either. It'll just be, oh, do you remember? It'll be a little bit like when you talk about Daniel Sturridge.
I think like, being a kid 12. Makes everyone immediately sentimental.
To be honest, I wouldn't. Obviously, in terms of playing ability, we're going to miss him, but I'm not going to get too.
Uh-huh. I'd be sad if he went, because I feel like it's the future. That's what they, you know, Clough, Holding. That's what these players represent to me, a bit of possibility and hope for next season, because otherwise, if we lose Holding and Clough, I don't even think I'd bother to go into a game next year. Like, that's obviously exaggerating, because I will, but it's just like I just don't see any hope at all if we lose them. I think.
Yeah, but they're not League One footballers. I mean, you can, you know.
Yeah, obviously, I know, but we don't want to be a League One team.
Well, unfortunately, we are, because we're that bad.
We need to not be as soon as possible. Oh, God forbid.
I'd be very surprised if both of them were there. We might have a chance of keeping hold of Clough. Like I said, if he goes to Arsenal, then we might get Holding for the season alone.
Yeah.
But I'm very surprised if they're both there at the start of the season.
I hope he doesn't go to Arsenal, though, because you look at Callum Chambers, who was far more established, was playing Premier League football, and he's just withered away to shite. Wenger's not a defensive manager. He's not a good team for defenders to go to. And I'm very scared he'll go there, and just like Kyle Bartley, never get played, rot in a reserve team, and eventually get shepherded out on loan to loads of clubs, never play, and then just become a fucking nobody reserve. And I'd have a lot of... Obviously, I wouldn't blame him for going in the slightest. It's a massive club, obviously. And I do think he's good enough to make it all the way there. And I think if he believes in himself as well, you know, if he's a professional and has ambition, he needs to back himself to be able to go there and make it. I said they made the same argument for Adam Bogdan next last season. You know, if you don't believe you can do it, then just fucking pack it in at that point, isn't it? But I think he needs to be smart. And apparently, which we'll talk about more later, he said in an interview something a little bit along the lines of, you know, he needs to think of his career. He could go to a team, never get played, and, you know, fuck his development up. Like you said, Tom, he hasn't played long. He's only played 30-odd games for Bolton. And he's been brilliant in practically every single one. But he needs a lot more experience. And like you say, maybe the loan back to Bolton for a year would do him a lot of good. Maybe even a year after that as well, you never know. But I just feel like, obviously, he'd develop at Arsenal, because, you know, it's Arsenal. They have the best coaches in the fucking league. But will he develop, you know, as a natural playing first team every week? Probably not. And, you know, I hope, like I say, but I think Everton would actually be a good fit, because they're going to probably lose Stones. If they sack off Martinez and get a manager who can actually defend, I think that could be a really good fit. But, I don't know. I worry.
Depends on who they get in, because if they get in, you know, particularly, you know, maybe a foreign coach or a coach, and give him the backing to spend money, then as soon as he's joined, he's joined the back of the queue, hasn't he?
True, maybe. You never know. But I don't know. I feel I am a very sentimental and emotional person, and the thought of him going so soon really does irk me. But, you know, I'd back him to the hill if he went to Arsenal. Fair fucking play to the lad, because he very much deserves it. Well, you know what I mean? He's earned it, I should say. But I just feel like he needs to think long and hard, because that's a move that could just see you not play in the first team game for like four years or something, after he's played every game since December. What do you make of it all, Rob?
I agree with your point about going there and wasting his talent. I think he has potential to be good enough, but he's only played.
I think
what?
He can play for England, and I know this is ambition. We all say, "Well, Joe Riley can be England's next right back," but there is just something a bit more to Holding. He just looks so composed, well beyond his years. I think he could do. I think, and Arsenal's probably the best club for him if to go and play for England. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel very cautious. But, sorry, please continue.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think he has the potential to be a very good centre back. But he needs to. He's obviously not a Premier League centre back yet, so he needs another year playing at probably Championship level or come back to us next year. But I think if he's going to go to Arsenal or Everton, then he'd be mad to turn it down. I mean, there should be no sentiment from him to stay at Bolton. He should just go and do whatever is best for his career. The worry I have is if we've got however much money it is, if it's 10 million, I don't know.
I'd very much doubt it's 10 million tonight when he's only got a year left in his contract.
I don't think it's 10 million either, but whatever money
five
we get for him,
at a push.
Yeah. How are we going to spend that money? Like, is
None
that money
in?
It's like, it's just going to pay off all these dodgy loans that Ken Upton
and whatever. And, you know, but, I saw someone today saying, if we get 10 million for Holding, well, we should bring Adam Lafondra back. I'm like,
exactly.
Mate, A, we'd never get 10 million in a million fucking years. We could get 8 million for, we could get 10 million for Gary fucking Cahill. Like, you know what I mean? We only got 15 for Anelka. Like, how the fuck are we going to get 10 million for Holding? He's played 30 games, there's a year left of his contract. No, we'll probably get 5 million from a shithead on loan. Hopefully not, you know. Holding not being the shithead, you can come back. But like, as you say, it's just it's going to disappear, just like the Ream money, just like the Chung and Lean money, just like any money we've ever got for any player in the last few years, go down the fucking invisible black hole. That means we get no fucking signings in, and it, you know, it might keep us alive behind the scenes, but we fucking rot on the pitch. And people were saying, oh, we could get a couple of Arsenal youngsters on loan. They'd fucking melt in League One. We've seen Wellington Silver. He couldn't tackle a fucking fish. How the hell a League One, you know, Arsenal's prepped up, fucking pampered, poncy, bloody League One, no, League One, fucking, you know, youngsters who've had nothing but luxury all their life. How are they going to cope in fucking League One and muddy pitches of fucking Scunthorpe and rainy days in bastard in fucking, I don't know, shit town, fucking, what's its name? They'll die! There's no chance any of them have the fucking metal or the fucking to cope in that division. Can you imagine Wellington Silver in League One? Oh yeah, he'd look cool because he'd fucking put someone in his ass, but he'd be dead after the first plod of 31-year-old journeyman right back puts him into fucking row Z after the first 2 minutes. It does me nothing, man. Like,
Wellington can't handle the Championship, so
exactly. And I feel like I'm being too pessimistic already, but I'm very pessimistic at the minute. I'm fucking scared of Bolton at the minute. I'm very scared of next year because I don't think we're going to do a Wigan. I look at Wigan at the minute and I'm so fucking jealous. I hope Will Grigg, I hope United come in for 50 million, well, not 50 million. I just hope someone comes in and fucking buys Will Grigg and then makes him sit in reserves for the rest of his life. Because if I hear that bastard in Will Grigg song one more time, I'm going to fucking put my head in a blender. Because it's too good and it's not fair that they get all the joy and happiness and we just fucking languish in fucking shit. And it's not fair they have a player like Max Power who's a fucking lad who goes out on the piss with everyone every night and just gets beer thrown over him and just loves it so much and is so passionate, and fucking we get bastard in Darren Pratley who may but I don't know why I picked on Pratley because I'm actually going to defend him in a minute, but you know, he's shit on the pitch and doesn't show that he cares that much. We're fucked. Yeah, I'm very pessimistic about Bolton at the minute. Very, very sad. I think we can morph into that unless there's any more points on Holding.
No, I agree with you. Next year, I don't. Anyone who says we're going to bounce straight back, it's not going to happen. I don't think in a million years.
As we said, right, Chris Wilder, who we was apparently after, was apparently on this 3-man shortlist of the establishment. Doesn't want Bolton job. But he's talking to Charlton fucking Athletic, the team whose fans are in continuous fucking protest against the ownership. You know, just to calm down, I'm going to read this, what Darren Pratley said recently to Mark Isles, and then we're going to discuss it. Is that okay?
Right.
So this is Darren Pratley talking to the Bolton News. and then we'll pick up on each. Shall I read a bit and then we'll talk about that bit of the conversation? I think that'll make more sense. Okay. In the meeting we had with the owners at the start, they told us we would find out within a week about a new manager. That was maybe 6 weeks ago now. So that's the first thing about the establishment. They've said they'd have a new manager in. They said they'd have a fucking board in place by now. They'd said they'd try and get the embargo lifted, none of which have happened as of yet. So, Tom, what's going on?
Weird. Weird situation. I'm becoming increasingly worried about the direction of our ownership.
It seems like the two people are odds with each other. We've heard stuff that we can't discuss as of yet, but it just really does not look good in the slightest. I just don't get why people are so willing to give all these, I'll get my people on Twitter going, give them a chance, they've not put a fault wrong, and I admit, they've done pretty, I think they've done made some good decisions commercially. I think they've been brutal with what they've done, and I think with some point, I can't remember what I was discussing with Liam on Twitter the other day, I think they've made some smart decisions financially, and hard decisions, and obviously we'll talk about the redundancies in a minute. They're doing the decisions that need to be made on that front, but we've actually taken the club forward and running it. They look at odds with each other, they don't know how they can make a decision, and they look very amateurish. They don't look like they know how to run a football club, to me. They know how to run a business, how to maybe financially run a business, which might be what we need, but I think a football club, they don't seem to be getting it at the moment. And as you say, I'm very, very concerned. I don't get why people are so willing to. I think maybe people are just so done with being sad all the time, that they just want to pretend to be happy and ignore the signs. But I'm just very, 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 very fucking worried. Prattley continued. So for the guys, it'll probably be a long summer trying to find out who the manager will be. No one knows anything. Staff have been told their future now. Players will get told Tuesday, which is tomorrow, in their meeting. We should find out more then. It would be nice to know who's going to take charge, what programmes we're on over the summer, and when we're actually coming back. See, stuff like that's not even fucking confirmed. They don't know when they're coming back over the summer. They don't know what's happening pre-season or anything. So, like Rob, like there's so much fucking uncertainty at the minute. Like, how are we going to come through it? Like, what's going to happen?
This sounds like a shambles, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that they've not even made a statement about what's happening with the club or what the plan is for next year or who the manager is going to be next year just shows you that. Either they've spoken to people and they don't want the job, which probably is true, or they just don't know who they want, or they just can't agree, or
they can't afford anyone.
The stuff happens behind the scenes we don't know about. I'm worried. I was when they took over, I wasn't convinced. And there's some points in Ian's article the other day that kind of explain what might be going on behind the scenes. But yeah, I'm worried about what's going to happen. I don't see us getting a manager we want, particularly. I don't see why. Even like, why would Chris Wilder go from Northampton, who have had a great season, come out of financial difficulties, played really well in League Two, probably got a decent chance of doing okay in League One.
Yeah, definitely. Well, got League One.
The uncertainty of Bolton, like, if Sinatsu, no, you wouldn't do that. Even if he's going to go to Charlton, they've probably got a better chance of staying up than us. Or doing well than us.
Tom, we talked a lot about the managers last week's situation. It's just going to end up being Reid and Phillips, isn't it? Nolan, maybe, as the bloke that gets fans excited, even though it shouldn't do. We're going to be stopping them, aren't we? And we're going to finish 14th next season, at best.
I don't want to entertain the notion at the minute. I don't want to think about it. I mean, there's no pre-season. There's no manager in place when we were expecting one in a fortnight. There's no pre-season schedule. We've got staff leaving, both playing side and non-playing side. There is so much still to do in terms of preparation for next season. And I thought when the takeover was done that there were plans in place, and that was the reason why the management structure was being changed. But it seems to be in a situation that's set off very quickly, and then all of a sudden the brakes have been put on, and I don't know who's put them. I don't know who's put the brakes on here, but all of a sudden we've gone from a million and one things happening and managers going and contracts being sorted out to the next minute very little. And a lot of the statements we're getting from the club now are just thank yous, thanks for your support,
yeah, thanks
for your long
bearing with us while we fucking do something.
Yeah,
they're actually
saying very little.
Yeah.
You know, the only real club statement in the last few weeks that has said anything is there's going to be redundancies, and
yeah,
obviously we're going to find out about them in the coming weeks, which isn't nice news for the people who are losing their livelihoods, but
mm-hmm,
it might be necessary for the business.
Definitely.
Which is,
and I think it's like, I'll continue with the interview because I forgot what I was saying. Prattley continues, it's going to be a long, hard season, and it'll be a lot longer if we don't get things sorted. We need a structure in place. What are Bolton going to be? Because Bolton teams have been hard to beat, getting people's faces. We need an identity. What are we going to be rather than off the cuff? Okay, so that's the end of the talking bit, and Prattley does talk later on about stuff, but I think we all slag Prattley off on the pitch, deservedly so. People give him a lot of stick, probably deservedly so. But I think as a captain, and how he's talked in the media, has been fucking excellent recently. And this latest interview, he's the only one in the club who's talking. You know? He's the one who's telling us what's happening, and the fact is that nothing's happening. And maybe he's being the voice of the dressing room, but I think he's leading it very well, and I think more people need to listen to him, and he deserves a lot of credit for what he's been saying. Like, have you ever seen an interview like this for a player literally calling the owners out so much like this? Not even at Charlton, where everyone hates everyone.
I think he's very silly.
What? Who's very silly?
Prattley.
Why?
I think he's
silly, as in, like, he shouldn't be doing. It's good that he's doing this, but it's going to get him in trouble, or silly for doing it at all.
Silly for speaking out. I mean, he's coming over now as a, you know, the man of the fans, you know, people's captain, and I'm on the side. He's got to be very careful what he says, unless he knows that he's on his way out, and
which would be fine.
Yeah, that for me could be the only explanation, is that he's been told that, or he knows that he's leaving,
and he's trying to get a couple of digs in
before he gets the boot.
Do you not think he's trying to warn us that, you know, we're still fucked? He's trying to do it as best as
well. We're not idiots. We don't. We know.
I tell you something. I don't want to be mean and do like this, but some really fucking are. I don't know if the ownership's still riding on the goodwill of them actually saving us. But so many people are so blissfully unaware or like ignorant of what's going to happen. Like, we're not going to storm League One. We are still fucked big time.
Mm. Yeah, but I didn't need Darren Prattley.
So you don't praise Prattley for saying what he said?
No, I think it'd have been a smarter move keeping his mouth shut.
See, I'm completely opposite. I like to know what's happening and their view. What do you think, Rob?
I agree with you, Dan. I think
it's
refreshing to see a player come out and say, this is going wrong. We don't know what they're doing. They haven't told us what's happening. Because that's how the fans feel, and if the fans are fed up, then how do the players feel? I know the players get paid loads to play and they should be doing better than they are, but if they get told on Friday morning that all the people they work with every day are getting sacked, and they have to take a 5-hour bus journey from Bolton down to London,
yep,
and play football the next day, I don't care if you're getting paid like 20 grand a week. That's still tough, and
mm-hmm,
it's not the way to run a business. They should have done it the day after the season and said, thanks for your effort this season. I'm sorry, but
mm-hmm,
we have to go.
Like I say, that, we'll talk about the rest of the interview. So, redundancies have finally happened, as we broke yesterday. Ian Brunskill, the under-21 manager, fitness coach Chris Short, goalkeeping coach Bobby Mims, sports rehabilitator David Dean, and head of sports science Mark Lever. That's the whole infrastructure of the first team and the under-21s gone.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole infrastructure of a club fucking ripped out. And it might be needed. They might be on high wages. We don't know. That type of stuff they might try and get cheaper in. But that's a lot of work. And we've got no manager in to bring his own guys at the minute. So there's no infrastructure at this club at all at the minute, Tom.
No, that, I mean, it's mad, isn't it? And I mean, the big one for me is the loss of the... I mean, obviously, there's some fundamental things there, like a goalkeeping coach. I mean, what are we going to do without a goalkeeper? Do you know what I mean? But the sports science thing, I mean, it's symbolic, really, because the Allardyce years were built on being the at the front of the queue in terms of... In terms of analytics?
It makes me think of, like, I don't know, there was a massacre somewhere. Like, you know, it reminds me of, like, you know, the opening scene of Inglourious Basterds? When the, when Christopher Waltz, you know, being a Jewish Nazi, he's going round trying to find survivors and whatnot, and then he just murders a family. It feels like this to me. It feels like the last resonance of something being finally put away, and being hunted down, and just being an end, like I said, like a true end of a fucking era. Maybe we get a new person in, but this just feels like, oh, it's just gone now. Everything.
It feels like they're kind of accepting our fate as a lower league club. They're just like getting rid of everything we had that kind of resembles being in the Premier League and having all the sports science rubbish, and they're always just going to bring in some League Two coaches and grassroots football, and
which is a ridiculous notion, because Burton and Brentford have been built on on data and analysis. It's a if that is the thinking, then it's a ridiculous way of thinking, because you know Burton and have come out of nowhere and they had it under Rowett where it was based on data, and Brentford swear by it. I mean, they buy the players based on their analysis from the past season. It's got to be from an affordability point of view. I mean, it's just the sad reality of the football club. Yeah. We just have to. It's not even square one. We're going beyond that.
Mate, not even going back to the drawing board. We're literally going back to the cave in the fucking caveman era with fucking
back to the cave drawings. Yeah, that's 4-4-2 with wingers.
Yeah, it's just. I know, I understand that redundancies have to be made. They do. They absolutely do. And, you know, there's probably been hundreds of redundancies made that we'll never hear about, of, you know, people who've been the fucking tea lady for 24 years or whatever and are losing their jobs. People who've worked the ticket office for fucking God knows how long. You know, admin, all that stuff. All that stuff we won't hear about, which is equally as sad. But this, you know, this is the forward-facing stuff. This is the stuff that, at the end, will get the club back up if it needs to be, you know. And it's getting ripped out, as Prattley continues, as you alluded to, Tom. Getting told on Friday when you're about to get on a coach for a 5-hour journey, we're only humans, so it wouldn't help anyone, he said. If you'd been told you were getting sacked before a game, would you enjoy travelling down there? It's yet another thing to happen at the club, but to be fair to the people concerned, they have stayed so professional about it, from the fitness coaches to the masseurs. So like I said, I presume Mark's only like told us of people who've we may know names of. Like I said, there's like massages and shit like that who we just won't know about. The masseurs could have sacked everyone off, not bothered giving anyone a rub, but they did their job. It's their job at the end of the day, and you're taking food out of their family's mouths. It's gutting. I think they've released a statement saying there will be more, so no one knows what's going on. And I just really feel sorry for them. Like, you can just tell Prattley's speaking for his team, isn't it? And trying to relate to the fans, I think. And it's just, like I said, it's a reality that we're harsh reality that we have to face. But it just seems like it's being handled very wrongly. What do you think, Tom?
It's hard to take all, you know, to keep taking all the information in, isn't it? Because it just becomes. So you just get so used to bad news. I mean, like I said, you know, you forget when you're reading about these things. You know, these are people's livelihoods, and like you said, probably people that are part of the furniture that have been there for a long time. So it's a weird one because, you know, it's obviously a big, big change for the club, but at the same time, you kind of get used to bad news and it doesn't really wash with you. Yeah. I don't know, maybe that's just me.
What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I find the Ian Brunskill one a bit weird. Because, like, he's the guy that's brought through the likes of Clough and Holding, all these young players who have talked in the media about how much they like working with him. And it just seems a bit of an odd move if there's this infrastructure in place. And like, our youth teams are doing pretty well.
Ish.
And just completely change it. That seems really odd. And he can't be earning that much money that it would be a significant boost to our
fans. Like, you know, it's every little helps at this point, isn't it? And I imagine they're just going to promote David Lee or something.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just frustrating to keep hearing negative news, isn't it? It's like, there's only so much you can take.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we've gone through that enough and ranted, and I'm still, like I said, I'm still very touch on the subject of an emotional being. I wear hats and sleeves and whatnot. I just find it very unsettling because I do think, well, we're heading in the wrong direction. I just don't think. And we don't even get to play out because of Stanley because the fuckers fucked it up, didn't they? And they're probably not missing the playoffs, the stupid fucking dicks. Oh, man, what else do we need to talk about? Anyway, it's the end of the season, isn't it? So, like, oh, do we really need to say, oh, we thought this season was shit? Because we all know it was shit. One highlight from the season, Rob.
One highlight?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Beating Blackburn?
Oh, you bastard.
That was brilliant. Yeah. Like, I was saying, when Leicester won the league, I was saying, like, I nearly fucking cried after that game when we won that. So if we ever won the fucking Premier League, I'd fucking could spontaneously combust and just turn to dust. Like, you'd just never see me again. I'd just transpire into a cloud of fucking vodka and just be gone from this world as a set, just a being that just wavers around the Reebok, just like, yes, mate. Rob, Tom, even, one highlight.
Rob's nicked mine.
Think of another.
I've got another one.
Yeah, but it's really hard to think of a highlight, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I guess.
Right.
Okay.
Highlight.
I've seen everyone score 2 goals this season, live.
It's you. That's what, is it your presence that makes it happen?
Yeah. You didn't happen.
No, I didn't. You're struggling.
I am. How about not losing to Derby? See, that's terrible. I genuinely think
about the first day of the season when we all thought things might be alright.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
The days.
I tell you what, Zach Clough's free kick away at Cardiff.
Okay, fair enough. I'd say either the emergence of Rob Holding or Eastleigh away, because that was like the same as what you're describing at Fulham, Rob. Just great fun. And then obviously a fan invaded the pitch and nearly scored and all that jazz. Very fun. A guy got on the roof. That was fun. It was just directing the Bolton fans. It was lovely. And, you know. We may have well more of those days next year because Bury away, hashtag knife emoji. I cannot wait for that.
Hashtag firm.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we do, even though it's the end of the season, we do actually have one more match to play because on Saturday, it's a Legends match, isn't it, boys? The players I've seen that I've announced so far, Jussi Eskelainen, Kevin Nolan, JJ Okocha, Jason McAteer, Ivan Klasnic. Today, Sasa Cercic was announced. How are we feeling? Oh, Paddy McGuinness, Vernon Kay, for some reason, John fucking Bishop. He's a Liverpool fan. Can't even do a fucking Legends game correctly.
No, Tony Kelly's just scrolling through his phone book now. Yeah. Phil Babble turn up, you watch.
Like, they don't feel like they've got a team yet, does it? Like, they've not announced it yet. And they're still announcing people at this point. They've not got a team, have they, yet?
No,
it's going to be a fuck up, but anyone, it'll be fucking hilarious.
they'll be ringing up all the maybes this week, the ones that said, yeah, go on, I'll do it, just give me a shout nearer the time. They'll be ringing all them up this week.
I went and bought tickets last weekend, or like Thursday or Friday, and nearly all the places said unavailable, and like, I was like, okay, and then even like some lower tier ones, there was like all unavailable stuff. But then today they said they'd only sold 6,000 tickets. So like, what's going on? And also 6,000 is fucking ridiculous. It's quite embarrassing that we can't even sell. Like, we're seeing JJ Okocha back in a Bolton shirt, isn't it? So.
Oh, I can't wait.
Do you not think the ticket sales are worrying? That it's only like 6,000.
You
not think it's gonna be a bit embarrassing?
I think there'll be a lot buying on the day, won't there?
Yeah, true.
There'll be a lot buying on the day.
It's
I think
only a tenner and a fiver for a kid, and they've only sold 6,000 apparently.
I do think it's been poorly marketed. I do think
we have our own fucking thing with that, don't we?
Yeah, I do think it's been poorly advertised. I mean, listen, putting up a picture of an ex player and saying, "Guess who's coming back on Saturday?" That's good, and it'll get yourself a few
tickets or anything like that.
Yeah, and there's no link to tickets. There's no, you know, details of team sheets. There's nothing about, you know, it's been really poorly advertised. I mean, this is a really good way to put to put a positive spin on what has been the worst season I have ever known, and the worst season that a lot of fans have ever known. And it's a really good chance to be to be positive as we move on to next season. And I just think it's been badly done.
Really has. And I support the trust fully. I think we all collectively at the site support the idea of the trust. But as I think... we'll talk about this, and I'll cut it. I'll ask Johnny, and I'll cut it if necessary. But basically, we all know, he's definitely said it on the podcast, that Johnny was doing the social media and stuff for the trust. Was doing it, and you know, that's where he looked professional, because that's what Johnny does for his career. He works in social media and writing and all that jazz. And then things happened, and Johnny no longer wanted to be there anymore because of how it worked. And I really don't know if I could be saying this.
I think it's more, but basically Johnny had to leave,
and now the people doing it are old, and not necessarily that's a problem, but they don't know what they're doing on social media, and the social media has now gone from a professional outfit. I'm talking about the Twitter mirror because I don't follow anything else. It's gone from looking professional, slick, to just looking like someone who doesn't know what they're doing is running it, and it's harming them, especially with this thing.
I was thinking it more from the club's perspective, and the club has done very little.
I don't think it's much of the club's thing to do, because it's all organised by the trust and the supporters. The club can do much more, really. Mm. And I think they could tweet out tickets more than that, but it's the trust's job to advertise this. It's their thing. The club have done what they can by giving them the stadium, but I imagine not that much, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to fucking afford it. So... it's the trust. It's up to the trust and the supporters association. I've not seen anything by the supporters association mention it. So, you know what I mean? So, please continue.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's just, you've got these people coming back, these brilliant footballers that have come from different generations as well. You know, it's not just the Acocha Campo years. There's some older players as well. I reckon Sasa Cercic is going to give JJ a run for his money in central midfield. So, yeah, it's a good chance to put a positive spin. But, you know, let's hope that in this week that some interest really gathers, and that we sell plenty more tickets.
I really hope so, because it would be quite sad to see if barely anybody turns up.
Well, you know, there was a time when... I mean, I remember going to... Jimmy Phillips' testimonial against Celtic, and it was packed to the rafters for his testimonial. There wasn't a single seat available, you know, and I don't know.
You know what I find very conspicuous, though? How Davis isn't playing in it, and I think he's probably miffed that this has come before his testimonial. And it's obviously this is happening because he's trying to raise money for the trust and that. And I do think it's quite a sad thing that he's not had it yet, his testimonial, or Ricardo Gardner, for that matter. I know we said, when Mark Isles was on the podcast, he said about how Gardner couldn't organise his own testimonial. But still, I still feel like...
If I was Kevin Davis, I wouldn't want to step onto the pitch until my testimonial.
Exactly, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why he's not playing, is it? He's either not been asked, or when he was asked, he shot them down like a fucking fighter jet. He's just totally shunned.
I just think the next time he'll step on, he wants his testimonial before he does anything like that, and I can appreciate that.
Rob, you coming making the trip down for it?
No.
Why?
Not a chance. I can't be bothered.
You came down for those shit games, you're not coming down to see JJ Okocha in the flesh. I get to see him in the flesh for the first ever time.
That's mental.
It's mad.
It's my birthday on Saturday.
Okay, I just didn't. Enough.
Yeah, just didn't fancy it, to be honest. But I would like to see. I would like to watch it. I don't know if they're streaming it. I don't think they are they?
But someone might Periscope it or something.
Yeah, that'd be quite cool. Yeah, but it should be fun. I'm surprised only 6,000 have set it to go.
Yeah, so am I, very much so.
Yeah, unless they limited the amount of tickets available.
I thought when I was buying the tickets and barely any of the stands were available and I could hardly get two tickets together, I thought, fucking hell, we've sold out this. It's going to be great. But I reckon they've not even opened any of the upper tiers, are they?
Yeah.
It's a sad, sad thing. But anyway, are we excited for the game itself? Who are we most looking forward to seeing and all that type of stuff? Let's get positive. Like I said, I've never seen Okocha in a shirt. That means a lot to me. Seeing Yossi back in a Bolton shirt.
May well
make me cry, considering he should have been in the fucking... We should have signed him in the fucking summer. Fuck you, Neil Lennon, you ginger cunt. Yeah, I can't think who else. Like I said, we don't really know. Else. Seeing Ivan Klasnic back, the ultimate finisher. Yeah.
John McGinley.
Yeah, never seen John McGinley. Oh, I actually have seen John McGinley play football. Tell I saw Jim McGinley playing a charity match at Crilly Park in Atherton. A fucking fool. When Owen Coyle were manager, it's like I first see we were relegated, and fuck me, he's not very good, John McGinley anymore. That might be quite a fucking wake up call for some of our Bolton supporting fan base. But I remember David Lee was really good in that game. He still got it. I'd love to see him play again because he's actually really exciting to watch, so fast. And Big Owen Coyle was pretty good in that game as well, actually. But yeah, so who are you looking forward to seeing, Rob?
David Lee was David Lee was amazing. It'd be cool to see him. Jason McAteer, he was quality when he first came in. Alan Thompson. Mm. I think Tomo's been confirmed, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think I've seen something like that.
Yeah, that'd be quite cool to see Tomo back. And Klasnic. Yeah, what a legend. Seeing JJ in a Bolton shirt again. And he was 42 this week, was he?
Wow, 50.
I think he'd probably still walk into our team, to be honest.
He probably is better than Heskey, isn't he? Tom, are you going, Tom?
Yeah, I'm going, yeah.
Who are you looking forward to seeing?
Vernon Kay. Yeah. I want to see what position he thinks he can play on a football field.
Isn't Danny Jones playing, actually? The McFly thing. Yeah. He's pretty good, actually.
He can play a bit, though, yeah, can't
he? I think he's a winger. He actually weren't bad when he played for the Band-Aid or whatever it is a few years ago at Old Trafford. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it, even the way I'm making the trip back from Sheffield to watch it. Like I said, I can't turn the opportunity down to see El Cocho, but I feel like they haven't got nearly enough players for it, I don't think. Like the amount of players they could have got, they've not. They've not announced, at least. But anyway...
Kelly can't play 90 minutes, can they?
They can't play fucking 9 minutes. But
Did either of you go to the game when it was the Nwanko Kanu Foundation game? When it was Africa versus the rest of the world?
No. Did Old Koch play in that?
Some of the talent in that game was unbelievable.
Was it?
Like, it was superb. I'll try and dig the squads out for you, but I mean, the only one that I was gutted about was... Ronaldinho was down to play for the rest of the world and then didn't show up. Oh. But I'm sure Sam Allardyce managed the rest of the world team.
Is it Allardyce managing the team on Saturday? Or have I made it up?
Oh, I'd be very surprised.
I'm sure I've seen him say he's managing something. It might be another charity thing though, like a bigger one.
Allardyce tends to do Soccer Aid.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen him say something recently that he's managing someone on his Twitter. Nah, there'd be more of a deal about that if that were happening, but it's not. It might be, I can't remember. But hey, Big Sam, doing it again, innit? Sunderland, they're going to stay up. The fucking master, that guy. The fucking master. Buy us, Sam, I beg of you. Please.
He doesn't go down. Nice. He doesn't go down.
Much to the worry of his wife. Oh, man. Right. I've been sad and tired this podcast. I've been working all day. And they've been caught in sucky side, and it's been sunshine on their side. So, Tom, why don't you hit
you
with
need?
One quiz, and then we can
ride
this bastard out.
Right, are you ready for the final League One quiz? What's it going to be next year? Is it going to be the League One quiz, League Two quiz, Championship quiz?
Oh, Championship quiz might be good, because I might be able to do it then. Mate, I'm not even going to... I barely cared about the Championship. I remember last year, the start of last season, when I did a big preview of every Championship team, and it was like 10,000 words. Like... How the fuck am I going to do that for League One when I just couldn't name more than 10 teams in the division? Yeah, we'll work that
the
out.
League One, this quiz will have sorted you out. You've got knowledge hidden away somewhere. Right, okay. So, same again with the home, away and cup final question. Home question worth 1 point, away worth 2, cup final worth 3. Dan, you've won the toss. Do you want to go first or second?
Oh, I've won the toss. Wow. Second. Second. Hello?
Does anybody want...
Dan.
What?
Hello? Somebody please.
Right, okay, stop. Right, is everyone here?
Yeah.
Okay, after right, Tom, after me, when I say one, you say two for me. One.
Two.
One.
Two.
One.
Two.
Rob, when I say one, you say two. One.
Two.
Right, okay, we're all sorted. I have no idea what happened then. Right, just start the League One quiz again. I can cut that and we'll just go from there.
Right, so where are we gonna cut?
I'll just cut all this to say, and so you've just said, I've just said, I don't know if it picked it up. You just say, you start now, say, Dan, you've won the toss.
Where do you want okay. To go? Okay. Dan, you've won the toss. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second, please, Tom.
Ooh. Okay. Rob, that gives you the first pick. Do you want to go home, away, or to the cup final?
I will go home, please. Home, okay. Please.
Can you name the fixture in League One this weekend that was the only League One fixture to end in a draw?
Bloody hell.
Oh, I actually know this. Fuck, can't I go first?
It's not your question, Murphy.
No!
Do you know this? I do know this. It's on TV. Doncaster versus Burton.
It was indeed. 1 point.
Wait, whoa. What? What was the question again?
The only draw in League One this weekend.
Sheffield United and Scunthorpe was a draw.
Scunthorpe won 2-1.
Did they? I thought it was 0-0.
Oh dear.
I'm going to see Niall. Please ignore me.
Doncaster Burton was 0-0.
Yeah, it's 0-0.
I didn't know the answer. Please ignore me. I'm going to see Niall.
You've got me checking it out now. No, oh, Sheffield United nil, Scunthorpe.
Don't fuck it. I know I'm wrong. This is getting cut, you know. So
I know, it's not getting cut. Dan, listeners out there, Daniel Murphy was wrong.
Oh, I always am.
Okay. Right, Dan, so Rob's taking a 1-0 lead. Are you going home, away, or cup final?
Cup final.
Oh, my word.
Madness.
Okay. I'm going to give you 3 goals either way.
Okay.
But in 3 seconds, I want you to tell me how many goals were scored in League One this weekend. Go.
32.
Incorrect. It was 38.
38.
It was 38. So.
Disgusting.
It was decent. Right, Rob, are you going to go home, away, or cup final?
Ooh, I'm going to go away.
Okay. Who scored a brace in their final game for their club this weekend?
Jesus. Oh,
no. That's no. You don't know it. Shut the fuck up.
Is it Ryan Lowe?
It was Ryan Lowe. No! Barry's Ryan Lowe. So it's 3-0 to Rob. Dan, you've got 2 questions left. Are you going to go home, away, or cup final?
Away.
Okay. Name the 4 teams currently in the League 2 playoffs hoping to win promotion to League 1.
Accrington Stanley. Plymouth Argyle. Plymouth Accrington. Portsmouth and Wimbledon, because they're playing Accrington.
Correct.
Yes! Back in the game.
Isn't it good to see Portsmouth and Wimbledon?
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
On the way back.
But I want Stanley to win it. So I say I'm annoyed, because I'd want any of those teams to go up, but I mostly want Accrington to go up. I just pissed off.
I'm thinking, purely selfishly, just not Plymouth, please.
Why?
Far up it is.
It's not as if you go anyway.
No, but I mean, like, the Portsmouth thing, I mean, it's nice with the little connection that I'm feeling from Portsmouth, thanks to the meeting. Yeah. I'd like them to go up. Wimbledon, it's a bit of a fairy tale, so Stanley, but I've got no connection with Plymouth, so.
I want Stanley to do it. I'm gutted that they didn't make it, and, you know. We need more Northern teams, because fucking Oxford and Bristol make, and Northampton is just so Southern and shite.
Mm. Very true. Sorry, right, Rob, you lead 3-2. You've both got a question left each. There is one
sorry, two remaining home questions, one remaining away question, and two cup final questions left.
Cup final.
I swear to God.
Which team finished League One this season with the least amount of draws with six?
God. I have no idea. Scunthorpe.
Incorrect. Incorrect. It was Peterborough.
Peterborough. They just won loads of Peterborough, though. That's unusual.
Right, so I'm on two, Rob's on three.
So one, I mean, if you go for home, that'd really be a pain in my ass because I don't have a tiebreaker. In fact, I do have a tiebreaker. If you go home, it'll go to a tiebreaker. There is one away that would clinch the win for you, and there is one cup final that would just really rub it in his face.
I think we'll go away.
Okay. Which team missed out on the League One playoffs on the last game of the season?
I know this. Yes, I know it. It's good fun.
It was indeed. Yes! Thanks to Barnsley's thumping of Wigan at the DW. Yes! Wasn't that lovely?
Winner. It's been a while. And what a... Thank you, Tom, because you've piqued up my spirits right at the end of the podcast after quite a miserable hour. I must say. Sorry,
speaking of picking up spirits, can we just have a little look at Barnsley, who beat the champions 4-1 away from home and ended up in the playoffs by only three goals?
Is that what happened?
They beat Wigan 4-1 at the DW on the day Wigan lifted the trophy. Yeah, beat them 4-1 away from home, and those three goals that they won by were enough to put them in the playoffs.
I didn't realise that. I thought they'd done it as in they'd won. How much I wear this? I thought like Wigan have obviously been on the piss all week, so they were never going to win. But I just thought I didn't realise it was that significant. Like, that's mad that Scunthorpe fans must be pissed off because like they've literally just played a team that was on the piss all weekend. Oh man, I need Bradford and Barnsley to not go up because, like I said, we need it to be more Northern League One next year, and they're like their local away games for me. So.
I'd quite like Walsall to go up because they're good. And I think if they don't go up, they might be in with a shout of winning it next season.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that'd be good for me. Yeah, so thanks, Tom. You said you really have picked me up right at the end there after, like I said, a depressing hour where we've had to like talk about depressing shit. Sorry, but that's Bolton Wanderers. And I guess that's what makes the Love Pod good, I suppose. Or, you know, shit, according to certain parts of Twitter. But ignore them. To going into the schedule for the podcast and the coming weeks. We'll do one next week after the player stuff's been announced tomorrow, with who's gone or not. Scared that the young players are out of contract, won't be given one. It'd be interesting to see what happens there. We'll do one after the next week's one will also be about the Legends game and whatnot. And hopefully there'll be some other stuff to discuss. Then I think maybe a week after, we may do a post, like a full season review type thing, reward. Well, not last year we did a whole reward show, if you remember correctly. Which, you know, we can't. I'm not exactly going to get that reward fucking graphic out or soundbite I did last year again, because it's too positive. So we'll see what we can do. Try and get a special guest, maybe, you never know. And then after that, we may have the summer off, because last year we had everything we literally could go every week talking about something about Bolton, but this year I don't know if we'll have the same amount, so we'll see. With the situation calls for it, we may do something, but I'm feeling like I need the summer off for a break and whatnot. But we'll be back, don't worry about that. And you never know, we might even do something for the Euros. You never bloody know, do you, Tom?
That'd be lovely. That's a bit of a Euro predictions, because I get bored and lonely without that Love Pod.
Yeah, well, the only problem is I won't be here for the first week of the Euros, first 10 days, so we'll have to see what we can manage. Muster up for you. But anyway, that was Love Pod episode 55. I hope you enjoyed it, despite the depressing chat. And yeah, you know us, we're Line of Vienna Suite. You can go to lineofvienna.com for all loads of articles and stuff, no doubt. I've seen Rob's got two interesting article titles in the pipeline. Best get them one up, get up soon, Rob, because we need hashtag content.
Yeah, they're both going up tomorrow, hopefully.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I do like the idea. Well, I like, cool. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I remember seeing, oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, actually, while we're talking about that, one of them is about the ladies' team.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's really cool, yeah. Why don't you talk about that for a minute?
A quick shout out to the, I can't remember the stats off the top of my head, but I think they came second, they scored the most leagues in the goal, sorry, the most goals in the league. The most goals in the league and something else. But I think it's their best ever season on record, so congratulations to the women's team and screw you to Bolton Football Club for not telling us about them.
Yeah,
and
it's
not
a joke, really, isn't it? I remember you said you tried getting an interview with them ages ago, if I remember correctly, and then you couldn't because of the media stuff.
Yeah.
Have you managed to get in talk with them this time or not?
Hopefully. I tweeted the club twice today and no response. So
we'll talk off air and hopefully I'll give you an email. And what was the other one? Because I like the other one as well. So.
The other one is all about our worst season ever.
It was. Yeah, that'll be good. So yeah, there'll be loads of post-season coverage coming up next week, and obviously we'll cover the Legends game as if it was any other and all that jazz. Yeah, keep it tuned on there. Go to Twitter at Lion of NST for Twitter stuff, go to facebook.com/lineofvienna for Twitter, for Facebook stuff. Search us on YouTube, rate, subscribe, like, review, 5 stars please, anything you can do to make us look better. And yeah, that's just about it. You can follow Rob on Twitter at Robbie Laz. You can follow Tom on Twitter at Down the Manny at D for Road. And if there's nothing else to say, I guess it's time to say goodbye. Is there anything else to say?
No.
Tom?
No, if I don't hear from you, have a lovely summer. And forget about the 46 terrible experiences this season, and let's hope that the next one's more positive.
What a lovely note to end on. So, Rob, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Tom, say goodbye.
See you later.
And it's goodbye from me. C'est la vie.